This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. A swirl of apparent change in China. Naval cat-and-mouse games in the South China Sea all week long between the U.S. Navy and China. And the Chinese Communist Party announced the end of its one-child policy. The party says Chinese couples will now be allowed to have up to two children. That's any number from zero to two, says the party. Joining us is Simon Den, your China bureau chief for The Washington Post. Simon, is this the end of an era in China?
Absolutely. I mean, this is perhaps the greatest, the biggest population control experiment in human history. And it's not completely over. As you say, Chinese couples will still have to have two children as a maximum, no more than that. But it is the end of the one-child policy, a hugely controversial and very unpopular policy here.
Morally a failure, politically a failure, or in population terms a failure?
Probably all three of those things. I mean, certainly morally a failure. There were brutal sterilizations and abortions. There were bribes paid to skirt the rules. The idea that officials could have control over women's bodies was morally repugnant to many people. But economically a failure too, because, you know, here we have a China where the population is aging very rapidly. The labor force is shrinking, and one-child policy has made that worse. So China's facing some real economic headwinds because of the demographics. Demographers have been calling for at least 10 years for this policy to be abandoned. The party has finally recognized that the policy needed to be abandoned. But just to restate, it hasn't completely abandoned it. It can't admit that it made a mistake. So it's still got some policy in place, a two-child policy now instead of a one-child policy.
Now, what would you say is the political implication of this cat-and-mouse game in the South China Sea? Is this nationalism actually built up as islands constructed in the South China Sea that the United States is now trying to challenge? And is it mostly for domestic consumption, or is this brewing into a superpower incident of some kind?
A bit of both, frankly. I mean, Xi Jinping is doing what he's doing because he's bolstering his domestic credentials as a nationalist, because he thinks that China genuinely ought to be more assertive on the world stage, and because he thinks that it's been walked over too long. So he wants to champion China's rights in many fields, and territorial field is one of those fields. So it is a lot to do with domestic consumption and domestic politics. But that domestic politics is also quite hard to handle, because what you saw when the U.S. sailed through the waters close to one of the islands this week was a lot of people in China going, well, why isn't China doing more to stand up to it? So once you start toying with nationalism, it's quite difficult to know, you know, where to draw the line. In response to the second part, yes, there is a real rivalry developing between the U.S. and China. The South China Sea is one of the main crucibles of that rivalry. It's going to have to be carefully managed. Neither side wants a confrontation. Neither side wants military escalation. But both sides are going to have to manage this rivalry quite carefully.
Is that to say that China has no option but to take out a destroyer to go to the next step? Could it box in a ship for a while? Could it actually board and stop a ship? I mean, it seems like there are very few options other than saying, get out of here.
It's very much to be seen, I think, how often the U.S. does this, whether the ships loiter, whether China starts to put a little bit more pressure. I don't think we're going to see ramming, but we could see close approaches. We could see brinkmanship. And when you get that kind of thing happening, there is, of course, the risk of accidents. There is, of course, the risk of actual contact between the ships.
China bureau chief of The Washington Post on the end of the one-child policy in China and the beginning of some brinkmanship between the U.S. and China in the South China Sea. Simon, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.